Thank you, girls, for that. Thank you very much. That song never gets old. Thank God for the blood and the change that it made in our lives. And the things we get to do now today simply because the blood has been applied. Praise God for that. Grab your Bibles if you would. Turn to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. We're making our ways through the seven churches there in Revelation 2 and 3. We finished the first four. We're now on church number 5. And we're going to cover that tonight. So when you get there, Revelation chapter 3, stand with me. Revelation chapter number 3. We've covered several churches. We'll get a review here in just a moment. We'll go ahead and read the passage real quick. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these sayings saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Again, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in your house tonight. And Lord, again, we do know that there are those that are not able to be here for one reason or another. But Lord, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on your people that are here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd teach us something from your Word. Help us, Lord, that we know that anytime we open up the Word of God, that it's going to be instrumental in our growth. And it's going to be food and manna from heaven that we can begin to chew upon and feast upon, spiritually speaking. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to feast on the Word of God tonight, to understand the truths that we're going to begin to break down here at this church at Sardis, and the strengths and the weaknesses, even, Lord, the complications they were facing. I pray, Father, that your will be done. Teach us now from your Word. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. We ask the saints in your name to pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. As we've gone through the seven churches, we began to break down some different strengths and different weaknesses of each specific church. Let's give you just a quick review. We covered in chapter number 2 the church at Ephesus. This was the fallen church or the forsaking church. We talked about their strength was their doctrine, but their weakness was their devotion to God. And they were right in their doctrine, and God and Jesus Christ even recognized that, but they were wrong in their devotion. They had left their first love. And then we talked about the church at Smyrna. This was the fearful church. This was the second church we dealt with. This church, their strength was their faithfulness in the midst of persecution, in the face of persecution. They even had a saint of God that had been persecuted there. And we talked about that. But their weakness was the fear that they had because of the persecution that was to come. So their faithfulness versus their fear. Then we talked about the church at Pergamos. This was the faltering church. This church here, their strength was their loyalty to God, but their weakness was their liberty in sin or their license to sin. So they began to take their loyalty to God and they were doing all these excessive things masking their license to sin and their wickedness that they were living in. Then we talked about the church at Thyatira. They are the false church. We talked about their strength versus their weakness. Their strength was their passion for God, but their weakness was their permissiveness. And we made a statement, I believe it was last week, that excessive works usually covers up extreme worldliness. Excessive works usually is used to cover up extreme worldliness. Now we're going to get to the church here at Sardis. This is the fruitless church. This is the fruitless church. And their strength, we're going to look at their strength versus their weakness. Their strength was the past that they had and the works that they had done for God. But the weakness was their present. They were focused on their past, but they weren't doing anything for God presently. Now, in the Christian life, you are either growing or you are dying.
And this church here, instead of becoming a hospital for sinners, this church had become a museum for the saints. And they had just began to glory in all the past victories that God had done in their life. Now, Sardis was a city that was there, that was eventually conquered by Rome, but it was one of the richest and most powerful cities in the early first century A.D. The church at Sardis was famous for its arts and crafts. And the church and the city of Sardis was actually one of the first cities to begin to mint gold and to begin to create silver coinage. And so this was a very rich city. It was a very industrious city. It was one of the trade cities. And this city had done great things. And the church was known for all the things that were being done in the city. This, again, was a very rich church. It was a very fruitful church up to a point, until it became very fruitless, because they were focusing on what they had done in the past, and they had focused on their strengths being their past, and they relished in their past, they rested on their laurels, but they never do anything presently for God. And there are a lot of churches today who would fit in this category, where they've done great things for God, and they built great works. They've got a large Christian school, and they've got multiple facilities there at the property, and they've done great things for God in the past, but presently today, they're not doing anything at all. Presently today, they have an auditorium that'll fit 300, yet they only have 50 in their services. And so there's churches today that would fit this bill, that would fit the category of the church at Sardis, that had a wonderful past, but a very struggling present. Now, let's get into the meat here of this passage. I want you to notice the notable reputation of this church is found in verses 1 and 2. The notable reputation of this church, looking in at verse number 1, here it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead." He said, "I know your works." This is a reputation that they had. This church had a reputation of what they had done in the past. Look at verse number 2. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Here the church was a church full of fakes. They were a church full of frauds. They were a church that had focused on what they'd done in the past, but presently they weren't doing anything at all for God. Now understand here, in the notable reputation of the church, notice this church is fully weighed by the Lord. God comes to him and God reminds them exactly who he is. God is the one who has the seven spirits of God. The Bible talks about how wisdom hath hewn out her seven pillars, and the spirit of God and the seven spirits of God is mentioned throughout the Word of God as well, there in Proverbs and other places. And here he hath the seven stars. It's talking about the seven stars that's mentioned back in Revelation chapter number 1. But here he says, "I know thy works." He's recognizing what they had done. The church had a character about themselves. They had done some things in the past. They had done a work for God previously. The church had a calling in the past that they were not fulfilling presently today. Now, by the way, the church always has a calling. That's to go out and to reach the lost. To go out and to fulfill the will of God for our lives. And this church, they knew what they were supposed to do, but presently they weren't doing it. He says, "Thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead." They were living on what had been done in the past. Listen, our church has done some great things in the past. In the past, we've set some great records. I believe it was back in 2015. We had 176 at one time in a Sunday morning service. We've set some phenomenal records in the church. We've set some salvation records for the year. We've set some baptism records for the year. But our church doesn't need to rest on the laurels of what it's accomplished in the past. We need to presently be doing something for God today. We need to be presently active. We want God to continue to work in us and continue to work through us. Again, there are a lot of churches out there that will rest on what they've done in the past. And they'll focus on the great days. And many preachers even go back and they talk, "Man, I miss the glory days and the glory days of what God used to do." Listen, we serve the same God. Why can't he do it again today? And what's sad many a times is we focus on things that have happened in the past. Now, hold your place here. Go back to Philippians. Go back to Philippians with me. A verse just popped in my head. I believe God wants us to go there. Go back to Philippians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 12. We reference Philippians chapter 3 regularly. If you've got a ribbon in your Bible, just go ahead and mark it. We'll come back to it eventually, I promise. I love the book of Philippians. But look at verse number 12. It says, not as though I had already attained, neither either were already perfect. But I follow up to, even Paul said he had not attained to what he wanted to be for God. Even Paul said he had not gotten to where he needed to be spiritually. But notice, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He says, I want to catch the reason that God has caught hold of me. That's what the word apprehend means. It means to arrest or to catch. You've apprehended the suspect. You've caught them. Here he wanted to arrest the reason. He wanted to grab hold of the reason that God had grabbed hold of him so many years before. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I've not figured it all yet out yet. I've not grabbed hold of everything yet. God's got so much more for me. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now notice, we ought to remember the things from the past and remember the things that have gone before us and those that have gone on before us. But the Bible tells us very specifically, we need to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. That means the things that have gone behind us, the things that have gone, that we've already accomplished for God, we need to just go ahead and let that be in the past and get busy doing something for God today. Forgetting those things which are behind. Go back to Revelation 3. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I've said it time and again, and I'll continue to say it. God's got big plans for our church. And God's got desires for our church to grow. And we have visions for things to happen here at the church. And eventually for some expansion, some different things to go on. And we want to be good stewards of that which God's given us. But we can't just relish what God has done in the past. We don't need to forget what God's done in the past. I'm not saying that at all. We need to remember how good God has been. But we don't just need to rest on our laurels and rest on the fact of what God used to do. But rather we serve a God of the living and not of the dead. And God wants to continue to work in us and through us. One of the saddest things that can happen in a church is that the church be full of people that just sit around and talk about what they remember that God used to do. Man, I remember when God did this, and I remember when I had a bus route and we were busting the seams, and I remember when I used to serve in the choir, and I remember when God did this, and I remember when God... Well, I'm glad you remember all of that, but what's God doing for you today? What's God doing in your life right now? How has God been answering your prayers this week? What is God doing today? Again, it's good to remember and it's good to relish and it's good to glory in the glory days. But let's not live back in the past. Let's live presently for God and let's watch God do great works today. Here, they had a name that they lived, but they were dead. They were relishing in the past. They were focusing on what had happened in the past. You could say that the reputation was put to the test, and sadly, the gold that they had dimmed. It was a city that was known for their coinage, remember? You could say that their spiritual worth was gone. They were not doing anything for God presently. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. I hope and pray that God wouldn't say that about us. That we have a name that we live, but we're not currently doing anything for God today. A name that we live, yet we're dead. You see, the church is weighed by the Lord. But also notice the church was found wanting by the Lord. He said, I know thy works. Thou hast a name, thou livest or art dead. Then he tells them, notice, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. That tells me there's hope for this church. That tells me there's some people in the church that had not stop doing something for God. That tells me there were some people who were still wanting God to do a work presently and in that day in their lives. He said, strengthen the things which remain. But then notice what he says, that are ready to die. That means they were about to fold up. They were about to close their doors. This church was about to put Ichabod above the doors. It was going to be done. There were some that were still faithful to God. There were some that were still busy doing something for God. And they were told to be watchful. And they were told to strengthen those that remained. But they were ready to die. They were ready to throw in the towel. They were ready to give up. And then notice what Jesus says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. He says, I've not found your works to be complete. That means they weren't finished serving God yet. God wasn't finished with this church yet. He still had a plan for their lives. A church that once flourished, now it floundered. The things which remained were in danger of failing as well. The church itself had lost its purpose. The church had lost its purpose. I've heard the story given of a church. One of the missionaries that we support currently, Brother Daniel Files, he's a missionary in Thailand. I heard him preach some years ago, and he used this illustration. I'm going to use it tonight. He used the illustration of a church that was once on fire for the Lord and was once vibrant for the Lord and was once winning souls for the Lord. And they had a verse that was on the back wall of the church. And it said, it was Proverbs, I believe, 29:18, and said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." A couple of decades had passed. A new pastor had come onto the scene. And the church wasn't running their buses anymore. The church wasn't doing anything for God anymore. Eventually, the church ended up folding up and the church ended up closing its doors. Somebody had come by and they were looking to buy the building and the property. They were going to excavate it all and build something else. They took a tour inside the church. And as they stepped inside the church, they got into the grand auditorium that was once vibrant and full of a bunch of people that were ready to serve God. And where the altars were lined with the tears of the saints. And they had looked up and they had seen the verse on the back wall. But the W had fallen down. And it said, "Here there is no vision. The people perish." And that's exactly what happened to this church. This church had a vision. This church had a purpose. But they had lost it because they were focused on what God used to do rather than what God was currently trying to do. You see, we serve a God of the impossible, but we serve a God of the present. And yes, He was the God of Abraham. Yes, He was the God of Isaac. And yes, He was the God of Jacob. But Jesus Christ in the gospel said Himself that God is God, not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. And today we are the living and we need to be busy serving the very same God. You see, that same God that brought fire down from heaven there on Mount Carmel for Elijah is the same God that can answer our prayer and bring some fire down in our lives as well. The same God that was with David when he killed Goliath is the same God that can help you face the giant that you're facing today, whatever it may be. The same God that provided for the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ as well is the same God that we serve today. The same God that healed the blind and healed the sick and did wonderful miracles throughout the New Testament is the same God that we serve. Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Last time I checked, the throne was not empty. That God the Father was still sitting on His throne. And we serve the same God tonight. This church here had forgotten that. This church was focused on what God used to do. And they weren't presently focused on what God could do. And we run the risk of becoming like this church at Sardis if all we do is focus on how God used to do this. And how God used to provide in these areas. And we fail to realize that the same God wants to do it today in our lives. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to work in your family. He wants to work in your lives. He wants to work in your Sunday school class. He wants to use you as an example at your workplace. He wants to use you as a light to your family. He wants to use us today. But we've got to be willing to be used. We're told here in verse 2 to strengthen the things which remain. We're going to come back to that idea here in just a moment. But we see the notable reputation in the first two verses. In the last four verses, we see the needed reformation in this church. We saw the notable reputation of this church. Now let's look at the needed reformation in this church. In verse 1 he says, "Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." We're told in verse 2 to strengthen the things which remain because they are ready to die. But in verse 3, notice what God can do to resurrect a dying church. In verse 3, it says, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." Time and time again, we've seen these two words run together. Remember and repent. Remember and repent. Remember how good God is. Remember who God is in your life. And repent and begin to serve Him once again. Is what he's telling the church. Notice he says, "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Here there's some that had stayed faithful. That's the ones that remained a minute ago. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Notice there is a call for remembrance by this church. There's a threefold call that was made here in verse number 3. A call for remembrance by this church. They are told to remember the past first and foremost. Notice what he says. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Remember what God did before. Remember how God did answer your prayers. Remember how God was vibrantly working in the church. Again, like I said, we shouldn't forget the things that God used to do. We should remember what God did, but recognize that God still wants to do that today. A remembrance of the past, but also we see that there's a recognition here of the present. He says, remember what thou hast received and heard, but then he says, hold fast and repent. So that is a recognition of the present. So we saw that we ought to remember the past, but we ought to recognize here in the present that God wants to do something today. God wants to answer prayer. God wants to work in our lives. God wants to save the souls of our neighbors and our loved ones and our family and our friends, our co-workers. God wants to use us to be a light in this dark and dying world. God wants to do a work. I am many times shocked by the amount of people who say that God is finished with America and God is finished with our churches today. I'm going to tell you, God's not finished. If God were finished, He would come back right now. But He's not here yet. He has not come back. He's left us here to do the work. What does that tell us? That tells us that He's not finished working yet. That tells us that He's given us a little bit more time. And if we've not even seen just here recently what had happened in our country as far as the election is concerned, God's not finished with our country yet. There are still plans that God has. God can do a work. We have a remembrance of the past. We have a recognition of the present. But also there ought to be a readiness of the future. Notice, he says to remember what you've received and heard. That's the past. He says, hold fast and repent. That's the present. Then notice he says, I will come. He says, I will come. That's a readiness of the future. Understanding that Jesus Christ can come back at any given moment, at any time that He wants to. We believe in the imminent return of Christ. That means Christ can come back at any moment that He chooses and well pleases. He can come back, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready for the return of Christ. Something I'm often reminded of, I heard a message back when I was a teenager in Jacksonville Christian Academy. We had our Wednesday chapel services, and I remember a message very vividly that I had heard. And the message was about the return of Christ. And the pastor, or the preacher that was preaching that message, the title of it was Face to Face. I don't know if you remember or not. I don't know if you remember or not. The message was Face to Face. And he made this statement several times during his message. He said, the very first thing that you're going to meet Jesus Christ with in heaven is the very last thing you did here on this earth. Now think about that. How do you want Christ to find you when He comes back? The very first thing we're going to meet Him with is the very last thing that we did here on earth. Maybe you're sitting at an intersection and you're going, about to go through a light. Somebody cuts you off and you say some things you shouldn't say, and boom, the rapture happens and you meet Christ with a curse word off your tongue. How humbling. Immediately, we ought to be reminded and we ought to be ready for the future. Christ is going to come back at any given moment, at any given time. And we need to be ready. Ready doing the work that God has called us to do. We don't need to just remember all the things that God did in the past and just rest on what God used to do in the church. No, no, no. We need to be busy today in the church doing something for God today, because He could come back at any moment. And we want Him to find us busy serving Him and living for Him. Look at verse number 4. We see in verse 3 there was a call for remembrance by this church. But in verses 4, 5, and 6 we see a call to the remnant of this church. There's a call to the remnant of this church. Notice he says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. again, I want to remind you of what he said in verse number 2, to strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. There were some who were staying faithful, but they had grown weary in the fight. They had grown weary in the battle. Hold your place right here. Go back with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 7. Galatians 6, 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." Notice verse number 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let us not be weary in well-doing. I heard a preacher say many a different times, Brother Tony Hudson, I had talked to him on the phone a couple of months ago, and I've heard him say many a different times in the messages that he's preached, he says, "I'm weary in the battle, but I'm not weary of the battle." And in the Christian life, there's going to be times where you do get tired. There's going to be times where it's going to be a struggle to get up and to do what's right. But don't ever get tired of doing what's right. The Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap, in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Listen, I don't know when your season is going to be, and I don't know when the reaping is going to take place, but if we stay faithful to God, we will reap, if we faint not. There's far too many people who quit just shy of the line of success in the Christian life. I've heard it stated this way, that failure is just a few steps short of success in the race of life. And many people fail because they quit just short of the goal. They quit just short of reaching that prize. And in the Christian life, sometimes it's going to be difficult to continue serving God. Sometimes it's going to be a struggle. Sometimes you may feel like the only one. Go back to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 4. Sometimes you may feel like the only one. And here this church had a remnant of those that had not defiled their garments. The Bible says, Jesus Christ told them, "They shall walk with me in white." Why? "For they are worthy." There was a remnant of those that had stayed faithful. There were just a few of those that had stayed faithful. I like to call them the faithful few. Amen? The faithful few. Here, there's always a remnant when it comes to serving God. There's always a remnant. You think of Daniel. And then, of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There was a remnant of those that stayed faithful to God, that stayed faithful to their Jewish traditions, and they chose not to defile themselves with the king's portion. There were a remnant even in that day. You can look at David when he was fighting Goliath. David was the only one. He wasn't even a soldier at the time. And there was an army full of soldiers that chose not to fight. But then even when David was fighting against King Saul, and David even had his faithful warriors, he had 32 mighty men. 32 or 33? I can't remember. He had mighty men. But it wasn't every one of them. Think of Gideon and his faithful 300. Remember, he started out with over 30,000. And God whittled it down all the way. There's always a remnant when it comes to serving God. And we've got to make sure that we stay faithful in the face of adversity. We've got to make sure that we stay faithful even when things get tough and when things get hard. Notice here, the call to this remnant. Here, this was a virtuous remnant. Notice what the Bible says in verse 4. It says, "They are worthy." They are worthy. Again, hold your place here. Go back to Psalms chapter number 4. Psalms chapter number 4. Talking about this remnant. Psalms chapter number 4, look at verse number 3. Here the psalmist says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." The word "set apart," if you look it up in the Hebrew, it literally means to sever or to cut away. That means God, you can go back to Revelation chapter 3. That God will cut away some things in our lives. God will cut away and cut us out of the multitude to make a remnant for Himself. In the Christian life, sometimes it may be difficult doing right. Sometimes it may be difficult staying faithful to God. Sometimes it may be easier just to relish in the past and just remember the glory days. It may be easier to do that, but that's not where the blessings are. The blessings are current. The blessings are today. The blessings are when we're faithfully serving God now. Yes, God did bless in the past, but those blessings have expired. You can't just live on the blessings of the past. It's just like taking the Word of God and reading it one time and then trying to make it throughout your whole week, never going back to the Word of God. You cannot live on that manna because it will not survive each and every day. You've got to go freshly to the Word of God. Why do you think the Jews, when they were in the wilderness, what did they have to do? They had to go get manna every morning. Right? And when that manna was left over, the next morning it would rot. It was not available for them. It was not good for them. It's just like that in our Christian life. Each and every day we've got to get into the Word of God. Each and every day God has got to speak to our hearts. God has got to show us something from His Word that we can apply to our lives on that day. We've got to get fresh manna every day. We've got to get fresh blessings every day. Yes, you can remember the blessings of God, but you cannot live for long on the blessings of the past. You've got to get some fresh blessings. You've got to get a fresh working of the Spirit of God in your life. I've shared the illustration time and again. I love to drink sweet tea, Mountain Dew, any kind of soda. I've always got some kind of drink in my hand or on my person. I've got a Dr. Pepper on my desk right now. But it would be like us taking one sip of something at the beginning of a day and trying to live all day long on that one thing. You're going to get dehydrated. You're not going to survive. It's not going to last. You've got to continue to refuel. It's the same way in the Christian life. I don't know how many other illustrations we need. It's the same way in the Christian life. We have got to constantly refuel ourselves from the Word of God. This remnant was worthy. They were a virtuous remnant, but also they are called a victorious remnant. Notice, the Bible says they shall walk with me in white in verse number 4. And then notice in verse number 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. That means they're going to be clothed in a new garment. They were victorious. They were virtuous, yes. They were worthy, but they were victorious. They had overcome in the face of adversity. And what does the Bible say? I will not blot out His name out of the book of life. Now we know that's the book of life specifically as far as living. There's two books of life. There's the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life is the list of all those who have gotten saved and trusted Christ as their personal Savior. The book of life is all those who have ever lived. And here God says that He's not going to blot their name out of the book of life, meaning that He's not going to take their life away at that present moment because they were still busy doing something for God. He wasn't finished with them. And He says, I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. Here, this was a victorious remnant. They were faithful to God. As far as our church is concerned, and by way of application, we need to remember the past that God has done in our lives, but we don't need to just glory in the past. We need to be busy in the present doing something for God today. Remember the past, but don't live in the past. There's nothing wrong with remembering what God has done, but we must determine to continue in the things that we know and to press forward because God still wants to do a work today. God's got plans for our church, but we've got to make sure that we stay busy doing what God has commanded us to do. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. This church had a name. They were living. But the Bible says, but they were dead. They were a dead church. They were a fruitless church. They weren't. And I'm not against the past. It's because of the past that we are where we are today. God has blessed this church. This upcoming year, we're going to celebrate 35 years as a church. That's a phenomenal milestone for a church. We've heard it said many times before that greatness is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. This church is going on for 3.5 decades here in McAllister.
But we've got to make the choice. Are we just going to focus on what God used to do? Or are we going to allow God to do the work today in us and through us? Presently, now. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for the truths of the Word of God.